Life can feel overwhelming, but you don't have to go through it alone. On my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, I share openly and vulnerably about everything life brings us and what we can learn by living with our hearts a little bit more open. Every Friday, a new episode brings you a new story with topics on self-care, motherhood, healing, and more. You are enough, just the way you are. This podcast is a reminder of that. Follow and listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.
Fesco, Dusty, and Mac with this week's edition of Start, Bench, Cut.
All right, let's get into it on a Tuesday. Ooh, hey, how about this? Taylor and Travis were at George Karloftis' wedding in Greece over the weekend.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's awesome. That is really great. Cool. How about that? Yeah.
That's cool for George.
Hell yes.
That's pretty sick.
And also, too, the odds are out for LeBron James's new team.
Ooh, hit me.
Cleveland 1-1, Golden State 3-1, yep. Denver 5-1, Knicks 7-1, and then Milwaukee 9-1.
Okay, yeah, those first two I think are the real ones. I mean, I think it's Cleveland and Golden State. Him and Steph have always talked about teaming up together.
Well, it's interesting that you say that after Kerr yesterday signing a 2-year extension.
It makes sense, right? Kerr wouldn't do that if he didn't think that they had something in plan. Hey, Steve, wait one more time. We're going to finish. You and Steph are going to leave together. We're going to try for one more little run at this. Steph Curry could still do it if he had a team around him. And LeBron, maybe with some more players. I don't know. That's fun.
I kind of like that, to be honest with you. I like that a lot better than Cleveland.
Yeah, yes, I agree. Cleveland, we've seen it.
Looking for something smart, soulful, and full of heart? I'm Jen Hatmaker, host of For the Love, the podcast where we talk about what really matters. Love and family, faith and purpose. Every week, I'm joined by incredible guests for honest conversations that invite all of us to live with more intention, more laughter, and more connection. Join us on For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.
Twice.
Yeah.
I don't want to see it. And it's Cleveland.
It's Cleveland, yeah. Golden State is, you know, kind of where the old guys go, you know?
I was about to say, that is true. When you talk about jersey sales, talk about popularity, Steph Curry, LeBron James, as old as they are, still up there in popularity and jersey sales. Of course, always will be. All right, let's get to it. Speaking of jerseys, how about jersey retirements? We had our guy Marlins man Lawrence Levy. Great interview. Had him on for 30 or 40 minutes. You guys can go listen to that on the podcast page on Odyssey.com or at the Fan 965, wherever you find those. We talked about retirement and jersey retirements. The Miami Heat have retired Michael Jordan and Dan Marino's jersey. We talked about that, how weird that is.
Yeah.
And of course, we had a texter mention Shedeur Sanders and his jersey retirement over in Colorado. Ranking on your just jersey retirement weirdness scale. Start, bench, cut, Marino, Jordan, and Shedeur.
All right, it's all brought to you by Jay's Southland Tow as well. I am going to start Shedeur. I am going to bench Marino, and I am going to cut Jordan. Shedeur at least played for the team that retired his jersey.
That's true.
Marino at least played in the city in which they retired his jersey. Jordan, I have no clue why the Heat retired his number.
What is going on? You can't just glaze and retire somebody's jersey because you like them.
I've never heard of something like that before. That's ridiculous. That's somebody on the text line just said, that's like us retiring Bumgarner's number.
Oh, ew.
Right, seriously, like, no.
He kicked your ass.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
I don't. Maybe that was at the time when Miami was struggling to find an idea. But when Jordan, I mean, they came in 1988 or 89. So that was right before Jordan became really. Yeah. I don't understand that one. That's a bad
one. And the
look.
Heat were solid right off the bat with Alonzo Mourning and all those cats.
They were
able to find a team. So interesting. Yeah. I've got the same ranking as you. Okay. We've got some new information. Some schedule releaks, as our guy Dusty Likens would say. Adam Schefter's got a new article. It's not a lot of new information, but basically he mentions that, hey, listen, here's some teams that the Seahawks could match up against week one. There's four now possibilities. I'm going to name you three of them, and I'll wait for the other one to mention it later. But possible Seahawks opponents for week one on that, what is that, a Wednesday? Is that a Thursday? I can't remember.
Yeah, I think they're playing that Thursday.
And then Australia's Wednesday?
Yeah, I think so.
I don't know. Whatever. They NFL made it weird. Blame them, not us. Possible opponents for week one. Seattle, Chargers, Chicago, and Arizona. Seahawks opponents. Again, Chargers, Chicago, Arizona week one. Start, bench, cut.
I would start Chicago because they'll build that as a preview potentially maybe of an NFC championship game.
Good call.
So I will start Chicago. I will bench the Chargers because, hey, I'll be watching that game rooting for Seattle. And in Arizona, who gives a rip?
Yeah, I'm going to start the Chargers because, and maybe we'll talk about this more later on this week, but I'm extremely hot on this team, specifically this offense, and I think Justin Herbert could have an MVP.
What's coming up at 2,
type.
Carrington?
Charger Mac. Mac Dot. Yeah, so I'd go Chargers, then I'd go the Bears, because obviously I'm a Caleb Williams Glazer as well, and yeah, the Cardinals, I don't know. Like, I always think about the poster. It would be Sam Darnold and Trey McBride on that poster?
I don't know. You can't have the Arizona Cardinals as a featured team in your opening day. I mean, coming off a bad Super Bowl like you did that really just wasn't interesting, you can't roll the Arizona Cardinals out there.
No, you've got to start off with a heater.
Yeah, you do. And I think it should be, of those three, let's go with Chicago. Let's have an NFC Championship game preview, as they'll tell us. I like that.
Well, we know what our week one is. It is against the Denver Broncos. We don't know whether it's in Mile High. We don't know whether it's in Kansas City, but it could be either of those. Chiefs at Denver, Denver at Chiefs. And then, of course, the fourth option for the Seahawks week one is Seahawks versus New England. Start, bench, cut those. Chiefs at Denver, Denver at Chiefs, Seahawks versus New England.
I'll go in that exact order. I'll start Chiefs at Denver. I want this game to be a road game. Yep. I want to go out there on the road in all whites, and I want to knock the Denver Broncos off at home in week one. I don't care if Bo Nix is 100% healthy or not. They'll say the same thing about Mahomes. I want to go out there and I want to get revenge against the Denver Broncos. I feel like that's where the season and the season, because it's not more than a season. I think that's where the season ultimately fell apart. I think that's where the wake-up call came, and I think that's where all of a sudden the, all right, here's what we're going to do in the offseason started to happen. That Denver game was as eye-opening as anything, and that to me right now, as I look at it, that is a revenge game. Right now, like, that is a circle game. That is a revenge game. They exposed you. They exposed your head coach. They exposed your defensive coordinator. They exposed the fact that you were predictable. They exposed the fact that Xavier Worthy didn't know how to line up the right way. Like, that was your expose out there in Denver. That is a major revenge game. So let's start with a win against Denver, bench Denver at the Chiefs, and then I'll cut the Seahawks at New England because not my team.
Yeah, I agree. Seahawks, New England would be a fun game, would be maybe a decent rematch, especially we'd have the Rossini, Mike Vrabel storylines. But yeah, Chiefs at Denver's the play here.
We're going to have those regardless, aren't we?
Yeah, you're right. That's not going away. TMZ's not giving up on that. Chiefs at Denver, man, it has all the vibes of this would be a great, huge game. You have the Bo Nix storyline, you got the Mahomes storyline, and then, of course, you could start your season off on the best note ever, winning at Denver, getting a division win on the road and kind of marking that off and starting off with that huge lead to get the season going. Because again, this team needs some good vibes to start the season how last year went.
And again, a win on the road against Denver, that's a tone setter, bro. Like that gets your whole season moving in the right direction.
Yes.
And you know what? You go to Denver on Monday night and you win. You want to talk about people partying on Tuesday. Because I do think while the excitement is clearly back for the Chiefs right now, there is still a little trepidation of people wondering, was last year the beginning of a downturn? You go out in Denver and you win that game on Monday Night Football against the Broncos, nobody's going to be asking that question on Tuesday morning.
I want to also increase this announcement, for whatever reason, as wrong as it is going to increase the conversation and the questions of, is Mahomes going to be ready? Even though it should completely cease all of those conversations.
Why would that increase the questions about that?
Because his name's going to be out there even more, and it's going to be week one. It's going to be Monday Night Football. Is he going to be ready? Big game.
I don't care if the Chiefs are playing at noon. You shouldn't be worried about Patrick Mahomes.
Against me and my friends running routes in the parking lot.
Right.
Mahomes will be out there.
Yeah.
We talked about Kansas City. We talked about great Kansas City moments. Again, that interview with Marlins man. Super fun stuff. How about this? Gordon Homer, game one, 2015 World Series. The Wasp, Mario Chalmers hits the shot. You got to start, bench, cut those.
Well, we're up against a break, and so we'll be back later.
No, you got to give me something.
All right. I'm going to start Chalmers.
Ooh,
bench okay. Gordon, and I'll cut Wasp just because that's the order they came in.
Yeah, that's fair. I'll go Wasp, Gordon, Chalmers just because it's not my team, but I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. There you go. Start, bench, cut, brought to you by Jay's Southland Tow.
All right. Coming up here on 96.5 The Fan, we got some more information about schedule releases and a random question that I do want to ask you guys. We'll do that next.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty, brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues. Your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan.
at it here, 96.5 The Fan. Another schedule leak has come through. Mac, I don't know if this is true or not. Jets Dolphins week one, 3 a.m. Cartoon Network. Is that real?
That sounds about right.
All right. I'm good with that one.
Yeah. Sounds good to me.
Yeah. So that's your next schedule leak that is out there.
I thought they were going to be on Bravo or something. That's a step up.
No, that's a step up. Yeah. Absolutely. One of the step ups for the NFL and for those teams. So Cartoon Network is where you will see the Dolphins and the Jets.
3 a.m.
on opening week.
BBL stinky.
I had this question yesterday because we were having about a conversation about the cost of living and how expensive it is, right? Everybody can agree, right? It's expensive right now out there for the cost of living, not counting your mortgage or your rent. If I said to you, you wouldn't have to pay for this for the rest of your life, what would this be for you?
Probably groceries.
Okay.
Yeah, just in general, if we could cut out the grocery cost, I mean, that would be massive. Food is huge, man.
Yeah, food is a big cost.
Food in general, because even then, like, going out, I would go out less if I had more money for groceries, or I would, you know, all those things, it all works together. Yeah, groceries. Yeah.
Groceries for you, food for you. Okay, I understand that. But I went with gas, and the reason I went with gas is because gas prices, as we're seeing today, fellas, have a trickle-down effect on everything. Everything gets raised because of gas prices, right? Everything, the second anything can be raised in a price, they do it. They blame the gas. They blame the diesel, right? So if I could go for the rest of my life without having gas to pay for, well, I like having gas, to be honest with you. It feels good. But if I could go the rest of my life not having to pay for gas, I really think I could do a heck of a lot more, because you said food. I could always find ways to cut the food budget, right? Maybe you don't eat the name brand or whatever, and you go with the store brand, or maybe you decide that you're going to have a head of iceberg lettuce instead of buying the lettuce in the plastic thing that has all the different kinds, the fancier lettuce. Okay. I've always felt like you could find ways to save money when it comes to food or some other things. It's hard to save on gas because you still have to go where you need to go when you need to be there. Right. And then if you have kids, my daughter had the greatest experience the other day. She paid for her own gas. Finally, $50 it cost her to fill her car. You would have thought it was $5 million. She had finally that wake-up moment of what things cost.
What the hell?
Yeah. $50 for gas. How am I supposed to pay for anything? It's $50 for the tank of gas. Oh, my God. I'm like, this is kind of the real world that we're in.
Mortgage.
Right now. Right? Yeah. Top of mortgage, top rent, top car payments, all of
insurance.
That kind of stuff. But for me, like I said, you can't say insurance or you can't say mortgage or rent. So what bill would you like to have free for the rest of your life? And for me, it's gas, because if we had free gas for everybody, think about how much more affordable life would be for everybody, because the cost of everything would come down exponentially because you're not factoring in the transportation cost of shipping it over to wherever it needs to go because of the ground transportation with gas. I just think right now that would be the number one thing for me to kind of cut out of the budget. What's the text line got going on?
Yeah, gas or taxes, electric car from the 316.
Yeah, electric car, yeah.
There you go. 816 says alcohol. That's great. Paid bar tabs for life, says the 913. We've got another texter suggesting for you to get an electric car.
Okay. that's a fiscal cost that makes a lot of sense at this point in time. Must be a gas dealer out there or something. Get bent. Seriously, like $4.29 a gallon. Who's sitting out there going, oh, this is fair?
Yeah, this makes sense.
Yeah, nobody. So tell me to get an electric car. Yeah, exactly. Get bent.
The 816, gas prices can go down over 50%, though. Food prices won't drop like that, even if gas prices drop. That is fair from the 816.
I can make my own food prices drop, though. I know how to cut a food budget. Yeah. I don't know how to cut a gas budget. I can go out there and I can get chicken thighs instead of chicken breasts.
I'm so surprised at how many people are saying for you to buy an electric car.
Wow. Well, give me an electric car. I'll have no problem driving. I'm not going out and spending money on a car.
I'll talk about it on the air, too. I bet it's awesome.
Right.
Absolutely.
It's probably fantastic.
Yes. Yeah. I got four kids, groceries and fruit or meat specifically, if you make me narrow it down.
Yeah, there it is. I'm with you.
That makes sense. Yep. I'd love to have to not pay for... other people's poor choices.
I agree with that too.
I don't know if we're ever going to cut that one down.
Right.
913.
Yeah.
Everyone remembers being a kid and one of you ruins the fun for the entire group. Yeah. Or someone in the group project doesn't do it. Yeah. Of course. That's happened a lot. 816 says beer. Mm-hmm. Binkley texted in, I guess.
Yeah, I guess Binkley is texting in. Yeah.
And the 816 said that horse had plenty of gas for all of us.
I see a lot of like free bar tabs for life. That eventually gets old. You're not going to want that.
And what if you want to have a drink at your house?
Yeah, exactly. Or, I don't know, you're 50, you decide you don't really want to drink anymore, but you still need to drive.
Yeah, exactly. No, 100%.
The bar tab for life, I can't get with that one. That to me is, you know, that's not real.
239 says, my wife.
Gotta figure out how to make money on this. I really want to.
Yeah, 913 says, the only answer is gas.
I think it is.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah. It makes sense. Student loans, taxes is a couple good ones. Medical, just in general, medical.
You can get around those, just don't pay them.
Bob. Financial advice. A couple weed techs, obviously, that's a good one. Free hotels, probably a traveler.
Yeah. Airfare's a good one, too. I just saw it pop in.
Man.
Now, if you're traveling a lot, but I mean, your airfare is a lot cheaper if gas prices are cheaper. Your food's cheaper if gas prices are cheaper. Everything relies on the cost of gas for transportation to get it from point A to point B. There's nothing right now that isn't being affected by the cost of gas and the prices of gas. I mean, we're probably all making decisions subconsciously about, you know, like my wife and I, like, go to soccer tonight. Sometimes, you know, we'll be doing things throughout the day. We'll just meet. Now we're taking one car. You know, it's little things like that we used to do that we're like not really doing anymore. But trying to conserve gas and cut gas is very difficult because you still have to get to where you need to go.
816 says, I've put 9,000 miles on my EV since I bought it. I've spent $384 charging.
Nice. That's awesome,
man. That's flex, dude.
That is fantastic.
Let's go. That's awesome.
That is outstanding.
Anything from Quick Trip, unlimited QT gift card.
That'd be buying gas. Ooh,
buying gas. The taquitos would be through the roof for me.
I mean, think about it. You're spending, like, I know for me, I think the last time, you know, you fill up a tank, it's $4.29 a gallon for a 20-gallon tank. You're talking $85.
Yep.
That's why you got to go to Hy-Vee, shop the fuel savers, damn, man. Right. Seriously, and save money. I do it all the time. Get a couple cents here and a couple cents there. It saves you money. You roll back that price at the pump, it's a little bit more affordable for you. I mean, when you think about the money that you can save at Hy-Vee on gas, I like to save where I get my fuel savers to about $1. And on a 20-gallon tank, that's $20 that you're saving. That's a big savings.
It's huge, dude.
It's a huge savings.
Yeah, anywhere you can cut right now is going to help.
Yeah.
It's that time. Is what it is.
Yep. So that was the kind of a conversation we were having yesterday, just a kind of a random discussion of where people are kind of headed, where their heads are right now. We know more about the Chiefs schedule, right? We talked a little bit about that earlier, about the Chiefs and Broncos squaring off September 14th, first Monday night football game of the season. And we don't know if the game's going to be here or if it's going to be in Denver. We're hoping, and this sounds ridiculous, I think you're on with me on this one. We're hoping it's in Denver to start the season, right? I want to open on the road this year against the Denver Broncos. I think that would be an unbelievable way to start this 26th season.
Yeah, I look at the Broncos, and I think they've got a lot of questions right now. I mean, we had Zach Bye from Denver over there, our sister station over there, and it wasn't exactly positive vibes over there right now. They're not high on their draft. They don't like anything they did in the draft. They didn't really add to the team. Now, their roster was talented. It's not like they were vying or dying, rather, for something, but they always want to add every year. We know that in Kansas City, how crucial that can be to a dynasty or to a good team trying to build success. So right there, you didn't do that, and then you look at everything else. I mean, the Bo Nix questions are rising. The Sean Payton drama is huge, and you look at the defense. I think it's so talented. Their defense is great. Obviously, Nick Benito, Zach Allen, Pat Surtain. We know the Cats over there and how great they were. They were a top five unit last year. It's part of the reason they made it as far as they did. But it's so volatile from year to year at defense, even with all the players staying on that side. It's not like the offenses. When an offense sticks together, like Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, and Patrick Mahomes, that offense is going to perform well. It just is.
Yep.
It's going to do. It's not like that with defense. defenses are so volatile from year to year. You can get film on their tendencies more often. They are not in charge. Always in any sport, the offense has 51%. That defense has 49%. And that 2% difference makes a big, big difference. So I'm not exactly sitting here quivering over the Broncos defense in a week one matchup over there at Denver.
I'm not either. I don't think that defense right now, based on what I'm looking at, and yes, I am biased, but I don't care. I look at what I'm seeing with this Chiefs offense and the players that they have. Like, I'm back to the point of, like, nobody's scaring me right now. And maybe I should have a little trepidation, Mac, with the wide receivers, you know, going in.
Yeah.
Because we haven't seen anything out of them. But they went out and they told us, and they flat out told us, that this was a coaching problem. It was not a talent problem, right? That's the message that they sent when you fire your wide receiver coach and you hire a new one and you don't touch the talent at that position for the most part. You're telling everybody that the problem wasn't the players, it was the coaching. And they went out and they fired their wide receiver coach. They hired a great wide receiver coach who has a pedigree around this league that has been, you know, 17 years of coaching the position in the NFL at some great stops. I'm excited to see what he can do. And that's maybe why I'm buying in a little bit more maybe than I should to that wide receiver position, because the people who have done a very good job of judging talent for the last 13 years here in Kansas City basically told us, we do not believe it's a talent issue. We believe it was a coaching issue. And they went out and replaced the part of the organization that they thought was the weak link, and that was the wide receivers coach.
Yeah, I'm worried about the depth there, but I think the talent actually is getting to the point where it's underrated. Is this a great wide receiver room? No, but I think this has a chance to be a good one. And I'll also say, we did that AFC West wide receiver rankings, not us, but we saw someone rank the AFC West wide receivers. Rashee Rice was fifth or something, I think. And I don't think he's long-term in Kansas City, and we'll see how long-term he is in the NFL. But he's playing this season for the Chiefs. That's what's happening. We know that. He's going to be there. He's healthy. He's not going to have a six-week suspension. He's starting the year off here.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's the best receiver in the AFC West. I don't know how particularly close it is. I think he's a 1,200-yard receiver, and I think he's extremely talented. Behind him, question marks, inconsistent. I get it all. But I think number four is a guy. Like, I think he's really freaking good. Mm-hmm. And I think Travis Kelce still has juice, and we know what Ken Walker is. Like, I think right there, you've got a three-headed monster that still can contend with a lot of different defenses. You've got an offensive line that I have sat here and preached for the last couple months, and I'll continue to do so until we get to August and September, and we can all see it on the field. This offensive line's going to be a top 10 unit. They're going to be great in the pass protection, but they're going to be even better getting into that second level and being physical and being demanding and setting a tone in a football game. I think that, along with a yak leader like Rashee Rice, you've got some speed and Xavier Worthy and Tyquan Thornton, and they can kind of just do their role. I think this offense, yes, the lack of receiver depth does scare me, but the talent with Rashee Rice at the top, I think, is really going to hold it down. That, along with the play calling improvements, and again, an offensive line and a run game that's going to balance out the offense and create an attack that I think people are going to be fearful of.
The interesting part about Rashee Rice is the fact that we really haven't seen him for an entire year, right? Right?
I mean, we saw him last year.
Not an entire season, though.
He has not played
a full 17 games since he's come into this league.
No,
and
not really.
What's he going into? Year three, right? Or is this year four?
I think this is year four. Off the top of my head, I can't remember.
Because he sat out a year.
This is year four.
So with Rashee Rice, when they got him in here and he started to practice, I remember saying on the air that there are people in the organization that think he could be the best wide receiver in franchise history, right? And those people are still around. And so you look at what, you know, you have with Rashee Rice. If you believe as an organization that he could be the best or one of the best wide receivers in your franchise history, then you have to make sure that you're giving him all the resources to actually go out there and excel at that, right? To go out there and actually achieve that greatness. And I think what the Chiefs did is that they looked around and they said, look, we're not giving Rashee Rice and Xavier Worthy and all of our wide receivers, for that matter, the proper help. We're not setting them up for success, right? We're asking them to go out there and do a job, and we're not giving them the tools necessary. It would be like sending somebody out, you know, I don't know, on a construction job and say, no hammers and no nails today, figure out a way to build that house.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll do my best, but it's not going to be great. But now they're giving Rashee Rice the tools. And a lot of times you say that about, you know, a quarterback. Oh, he needs the tools. He needs the guys around him. I think young wide receivers in the NFL need a legitimate NFL wide receiver coach around them. And I think we've wasted those years of Xavier Worthy and Rashee Rice by not having the proper adult in the room that could help coach them up and get the most out of them. And that is a fear for me, and I'm not going to lie about that. And I say fear, but, you know, it's something you think about. If both of those guys were to leave and go on and have success elsewhere, we'd be like, why didn't it work here in Kansas City? And we wouldn't have an idea why. But now the Chiefs realized it before we did, that these guys could go elsewhere and have success. So what did they do? They tried to bring the success to these guys and coach them up. Like, again, it's just such an understated move by going out and getting a new wide receiver coach, but it's not. It is not an understated move. It is an imperative move. It could go down as being the best move of the offseason. If you got Rashee Rice and Xavier Worthy, Mac, both with about 1,000 yards and 5 to 7 touchdowns, the Chad O'Shea hire is the greatest hire the Chiefs have made since Andy Reid.
He's the most impactful addition. Yeah, would be on the offseason if he's able to do that,
right?
And unlock those sorts of pieces. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I completely agree. We've got a Jalen Waddle text in here, which I knew would come, but I haven't seen anything from Waddle since 2022, 2023. So I missed me with that. Rashee Rice, we just saw it. We saw glimpses of it when that offense was cooking last season. Last season, we saw it. Again, he would have been on pace for 1,200 yards. I think that would have been the best receiver in the AFC West. And if he's doing that, to your point, without a wide receivers coach, without an offense that has any sort of balance or any sort of we don't know what's going to happen next. The defense is on their heels. That hasn't happened once in the last two seasons for Rashee Rice, and he was still able to create space, get yards after the catch, and be a productive piece. I mean, I think he is kind of the thing that unlocks everything for this offense. So I think he's going in underrated. We've got another text here about Rashee Rice.
Okay.
Where is it? Unpopular opinion from the 816. We should sign Rice to a cheap 2-year extension while his value is depleted, like we did Tyreek after his scandal.
I don't know why that would be an unpopular opinion. That's a very popular opinion. I would think he would say no. You know,
yeah.
I would think he would say no at this point in time.
Maybe he's down bad,
but
for
yeah,
money.
Maybe
we've talked about the down bad for cash, possibly.
Right?
I don't know. Personally, and again, I do not know Rashee Rice. I just know what I read, just like all of you do. So this is, you know, personally, just a fan's opinion, just like anyone else. I would say I don't know if I have enough track record of trust to put that sort of long-term investment into Rashee Rice yet.
Yeah, I'm with you. Kind of like it was with the Tyreek thing, and they didn't really trust him until years later after they drafted him, right?
No. I mean, and
they never gave him a contract. It was always a roster bonus.
Yes, exactly. And this sucks to say, and it is part of it, but Rashee's not as good as Tyreek.
No, he's not.
At least not right now. I haven't seen it.
Right.
Yes, I know there are people in those building that believe that could happen.
Could happen, but we haven't seen the guy play enough.
Exactly. Tyreek Hill was showing us, oh, wow, this is going to be one of the best deep threats we were going to ever see,
right.
Ever.
And again, like, I am not a fan of Tyreek Hill, the person. The Tyreek Hill, the football player, is somebody that I think just about everybody who gets into the NFL should study what he did. Because he went from a guy that was a running back and switched his entire position and became one of the best, if not the best, wide receivers of a brief era here in Kansas City. Not just in Kansas City, but maybe in the NFL. I mean, that Hill-Mahomes connection was as lethal as it gets, right? And so if you're Rashee Rice, you're, you know, one of these guys, you got to look at what Tyreek Hill did on the field and how he transformed his game. But you know what? If you're a guy like Rashee Rice and Xavier Worthy, and maybe you're trying to do that, but you don't have the direction from a coach that understands how to do that, where do you sit?
Yeah.
Where do you sit? And so, again, with the NFL, it's just one layer after another, after another, after another. You continue to peel back that layer, and you realize, we didn't like the way Rashee Rice and Xavier Worthy played last year. But you know what? It may not be their fault. And they may have, and if they go out there in the first month of the season, they're balling, everybody's going to be looking around going, what did the Chiefs do? It's the same wide receivers. No, it's not. It's a different wide receiver coach, and that makes all the difference in the world. Messaging.
And we have it. Yeah, I mean, that is true. It is going to be like looking at a different wide receiver. It should be with Xavier Worthy. I think it could literally be a different player. That would be huge. We could actually see the first round talent that we thought we were getting or acquiring 2 years ago. So I'm totally with you. I think you peel back the onion more and more and the Chiefs team looks really good. Maybe not the Chiefs social media. We got another text talking about the post from yesterday. They were asking, have you guys talked about this sourdough bread thread from the Chiefs team? You're saying, hey, guys, this is a troll, right? That's what you're saying?
That's what I think. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I think it's a great troll. I mean, I think it's fantastic. If you haven't seen it, they did their schedule release yesterday, a sourdough bread with like overlays of things that related to their opponents. And it was bad. Like it was fantastic, but it was bad.
Yes.
And I'm looking at it, I'm laughing. There are people that are buying this stuff. Why do people still believe stuff they read on the internet or watch on the news?
I don't know. I can't say that I didn't at first go, what the hell? But I did have a second thought of going, okay, well, I know how talented these people are.
Right.
They're incredibly talented.
We also
talented.
Know the schedule doesn't come out till Thursday.
And we also know, yeah, so they've got, just like all of us in the sports media world, have a couple days to pump and fill and create content with this schedule release or leak.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, this was their way of doing it on a Monday.
Yeah, it was money. The
more I think about it, it's funny.
It was hysterical. They took the sourdough that's been a big thing with Taylor Swift, and they like just overlaid images of what they thought represented each team on sourdough bread. They had the Chargers as toast. They had the Jets as a bagel with lox. I mean, it was funny. It was comical.
Yes.
And people who take this stuff seriously, man, like I just don't understand how you're wired that way, where you see something like that and it makes you mad. I looked at it and I laughed. I'm like, oh, this is fun. At first, I'm like, I'm not scrolling through all of this. But then I'm like, all right, let's see what we got here. And I laughed every single time from, like, as you said, for a Monday.
Yes.
You're sitting at your desk at 2:00 and that comes across.
It's like, wait, what?
Funny.
Yeah, it is funny. And frankly, it's done its job because it's getting talked about a bunch. I mean, I've got people who don't live in Kansas City, aren't Chiefs fans, texting me about this bread thread and what's going on. And this is about Taylor Swift. Yes, she likes making sourdough. Come on,
right.
Let's go.
Yeah,
yes,
it was fantastic. I loved it. So we don't know what the schedule is going to be, but you got to have some fun with it. What else are the Chiefs going to tweet about right now?
Get in your playbook.
Yeah, right. Now, the bread thread was really good. So if you haven't seen that, check it out. It's sourdough. It's funny. It's enjoyable. It's lighthearted. It's such a great troll job. But the people who take this stuff seriously, man, believing the internet and believing TV news. Sorry, man. Can't believe either one of those.
Nope.
Coming up, do you believe Salvi's hurt? Next.
Hey, it's Matt Quatrero, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan.
Brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues. 96.5 The Fan.
All right, back at it here, 96.5 The Fan, Fesco and Dusty with you. Dusty is off, Mac is in today. And
Mac's awesome.
He is, and I know that you've got some situations involving Salvi that got you kind of up at night, huh?
Yeah, man, the more I think about it, the more I'm just like, this has been a weird year for Salvi, not just the slump, not just the lack of productivity or quality play that we've seen from Salvi. That's happened from time to time. Yeah, this seems maybe worse than past years, but also I think Carrington brought it up last on Monday of just being like, okay, well, he didn't play Mother's Day. He wasn't in on his birthday. This was his birthday weekend. Usually Salvi would want to play on those sorts of days. You see the Carter Jensen's now, which is what I said. He's behind the plate just as much as Salvador Perez, it seems, right now, which is what I said. He's going to be behind the dish more this season than Salvador Perez, which is what I wanted, but I thought it'd be because, okay, great, Salvador Perez can hit well. He can be great at the plate, and he can be that offensive player we want him to be. And instead, it's been maybe his worst start to a season at the plate, maybe in his career. I don't know it well enough. We'd have to really look at the first 40 games. But I think the Salvador worry meter is got to be at least at a 5. For me, it's a 5 or a 6, and I know a lot of people agree and are saying the same way. And I don't think it's a – I think it's a cliff watch. I think we're on cliff watch.
I hate that term, to be honest with you, and I think that term sucks, but it's hard for me to argue that term, you know, and that's what happens with players when they get to a certain level, you know, when they get to that age where the game has kind of passed them by, and we're 40 games into this. I'm not finding myself necessarily concerned because I don't want to find myself concerned. Mm-hmm. I don't want this to be like, okay, here we are at the end of Salvador Perez. Because once he walks out the door, guys, all of the connections to the glory 2 years of 14 and 15 are officially gone, right?
That's true.
The manager's gone. The general manager's gone. The owner's gone. The players are gone.
there's nobody in the organization anymore that has that connection to what happened in 2014 and 2015. And so when Salvador Perez finally walks out the door for that last time, we have lost that final connection to that team that won in 2015 and brought joy to so many of our lives. And for me, that's why I don't want to look at Salvi, that it may be the end, or that maybe he's fallen off a little bit, this slow start. I'm chalking it up to just a slow start. That's where I am at this point. Now, if we're 80 games in and another 40 days, we're having this same conversation and he's still not hitting, then yeah, you have to wonder, oh my God, has the game caught up with Salvador Perez? And is Salvador Perez going to realize that? Because that's the next question, yep. Mac, that you have to understand if you're a player. You have to realize when the game passes you by. And you're never going to realize it yourself. You have to have those confidants, those people that you can rely on, those people that you can trust that sit down with you. You know, like if Dayton was still around with Salvi in the organization, he's probably a guy like that that could go up to Salvi and say, hey, man, you know, hey, we love you, but look what's going on, right? I don't know, you know, who that person is going to be and who wants to have that conversation, quite honestly, with Salvador Perez. You'd wish in life that everybody knew that they were done with what they were doing at that point in time. Like, you wish these athletes could realize that they were done, because the downfall stinks. And if Salvi's like this all season long, that's not going to be a great remembrance, if you will. Now, I know he's still got another year or whatever it is left on his contract. But what do you do if he has a down season this year? He ends up hitting, let's, under 200 for the year.
Yes.
You know?
Negative war right now, by the way.
What are we doing? What are we doing next year with Salvador Perez? Are we having him as a part-time player? Is he taking up a roster spot? Are you trying to trade him? Is he going to, you know, retire? You don't walk away from that money, unless the team says, we'll just give it to you, you know, if you want to, you know, call it a career. But it's a tough spot. It really is. Because there's so many questions, and I don't know if there's enough answers yet right now, Mac.
Well, and I think you mentioned if this year goes poorly, what happens next year? Obviously, there's all those questions. And then it's the drama that kind of surrounds whatever decision you do make.
Mm-hmm.
If this year ends up being as poor as it's began.
Right.
And then next year, no matter what you do, everyday player, he's coming off the bench, he's not starting for a second. Whatever decision you make, it's going to be the storyline for the Royals. And it's going to cloud that locker room. It's going to be a big talking point the whole time. Why isn't Salvi playing? Why is Salvi playing? Why did they give him this contract? What's going on? This is not. And again, you're right. It can tarnish a legacy so quickly. Even like, didn't you say 20 years ago? What did you say?
When they signed 20 years ago this week.
20 years ago this week. And that's how quick it can go. One bad 40 game stint in a season maybe last year that we didn't like the way it ended, and all of a sudden it's a little different. The way you start talking about it, the connotation can flip really, really quickly. Again, a negative war for him, batting just 191, five home runs. So that's the only positive right there. Five home runs, maybe, for Salvi. So.
How are people feeling about, though, Salvador Perez? And I know the text line is genuinely more negative than it is positive, but are people having these same feels about Salvador Perez, Mac, that you're having right now? That it's like, oh my God, what's going on? What are we doing? What are we watching? Because again, I'm not putting myself in that camp. I don't want to see the negative, almost, is kind of where it
is. I get
it. You know, I don't want to recognize that's going on, because again, it sucks. And that's why you wish athletes would realize it sooner and they just walk away, so we don't have to realize and live, you know, through where they're not playing as well as they should. But he's got a track record. And that's why at this point in time, is it interesting that it is. I'm not gonna lie, it's a little interesting that he's not playing so well right now. Right. But I'm still willing to give it a little bit more time. I'm not ready to close the door quite yet on Salvador Perez. I don't think we can. Because he's had all of that. Now, if he continues to look slow and the bat speed's not there and he's behind everything and he's striking out a lot, well, then it is another conversation that we're going to have. But what's your answer right now? You know, is it just let Carter play the entire time, which I'm fine with? I love the way that Carter Jensen's playing right now. I know that sounds weird, and I'm sure people will argue with me. That guy's gaining more on the job experience right now.
That's what we need.
Because Carter Jensen's going to be here, hopefully, let's say, for the next 20 years, like Salvi was, right? If you could have that kid for the next 10, 15, 20 years, and he's a phenomenal player, and we're talking about a Hall of Famer, it's going to be because he went through this year. and had his lumps behind the plate, because he is not a finished product behind the plate at all.
Not even close.
I mean, not even close.
And he's still had some really good throwouts this year.
Yeah.
Like, he's shown his arm talent. Yes, the tag, the glove needs some work behind the dish. But
right.
I love the growing pains that we're getting to see him go through, and I think he's going to come out better for it.
I think so, too. You know, if you allow yourself to come out better for it, right? If you allow yourself to go through the process of all these growing pains, and you allow yourself to get beaten down, and you figure out ways to get better, yeah. And I think Carter will. I mean, why wouldn't he? He's a Major League Baseball player. You want to stay around. And so I think the growth of him this year is going to be really fun to watch. I like Salvi being there as a mentor to him,
yes,
and leading him
absolutely
through. But I also want to see Salvi produce a little bit more, too. So, yeah.
I'd have the conversation with Salvi. They'd be like, dude, I don't give a rip about this right now. I know who you are. I know why we extended you. We knew you had more gas left in the tank. And the reason we wanted you to stay here and be a Royal for life isn't just because of your legacy and what you've done in the past, but what we think you can do for us in the future. And that's not the regular season. We want you for the playoffs. We want you to be the best player when it matters. That end of regular season, that playoff push, mm-hmm, into that postseason. Be that El Capitan that we know that you are. Right now,
right,
Carter Jensen's going to take the bulk of these reps. He's going to get going to be that catcher that we know him he can be and that you can help him be. So just figure this out. We're good to go, because we know when it matters, when the time is winding down, it's going to be the Salvi that we know and love. That would be my speech to him to, mm-hmm, get him kind of going, to say, dude, kind of forget about this. But yeah, I would say right now the consensus among the text line is to move him down in the lineup at least. And play him less. But yeah, he's bad right now from the 913. He's taking obvious strikes, swinging at absolute crap. Yeah, I mean, it's you can throw a slider or sweeper away from Salvi, and he would swing every time in three pitches and strike out. And that's
what he's always done that, though.
Yes, but it's
remember
bad
that
right
pitch
now.
He hit for the wild card thing was on the ground.
Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, wherever you get your shows.
I mean, like, that was nowhere to be found.
At least 100 RBIs in the last 2 years. He's on pace for less than 80 currently.
Okay, that's not that big of a drop-off.
That's a huge drop. That's over 25%.
Yeah, when you put it like that, yeah.
Yeah.
But still, 80 RBIs is a good season.
It's a good season. Yeah, he'd be on pace for 70-something. Yeah, it's fine. Like, yeah, there's still some stats in there that you can point out and go, oh, okay. Like, 60, 120. Yeah, he's on pace for about 120 hits.
Mm-hmm.
It's a normal year in some cases, but the on-base percentage, the batting average, the WAR is negative. All the advanced stats are matching the eye test.
Yeah, exactly. And so when you have all that, that's where it's up to the manager and the coaching staff what they're going to decide to do about it. But I'm not ready for the end of that yet. All right, we'll be back tomorrow. Matt Quatrero will join us. It is a Wednesday. Cody Gold and Binkley next.
Hey, what's up, Flies? This is David Spade.
Dana Carvey.
Look, I know we never actually left, but I'll just say it. We are back with another season of Fly on the Wall.
Every episode, including ones with guests, will now be on video. Every Thursday, you'll hear us and see us chatting with big-name celebrities.
And every Monday, you're stuck with just me and Dana. We react to news, what's trending, viral clips.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.